from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The 22nd annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Presented by Arbella Insurance. Here for the Jimmy Fund, here for good. And by Applebee's, Sherwin-Williams, and Cape Cod Lumber.
This hour, the Greg Hill Show is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing, the official roofing partner of the Boston Celtics.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day two of the WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Presented by Arbella Insurance. Here for the Jimmy Fund. Here for good.
Now, live from Fenway Park.
It's the Greg Hill Show.
With Greg Hill, Jermaine Wiggins, and Courtney Cox.
Back at Fenway Park for one more day of this year's WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. What up, adults? Hello, Wiggy.
What up? What up?
I know you were here last night for as the host, the celebrity MC of the 50-50 raffle. How did it go?
It went really well. We sold a lot 50-50, so I think I got a big winner.
Okay. You know that it was not supposed to be 50 for the Jimmy Fund, 50 for you.
No, I was looking for it.
Okay.
I was like,
you're looking for your piece?
I was looking. I didn't even need 50. Just give me like 5% or whatever the total, total amount was.
Do you have any cards signed that you gave out to people?
No. I didn't need to do that, Courtney. I had the big chain on. Everybody knew who I was. So.
Okay. All right.
It's a good turn.
It was amazing yesterday. People pointed out, Courtney posted a great group shot of David Ortiz with us. And we take for granted how big, I don't mean fat, I mean strong, big, strapping,
tall
Jermaine Wiggins is.
Yeah.
Because even like when you see David Ortiz as a standalone, he's a massive guy.
Right.
But with Wiggy, he looks diminutive.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people that post that we put up talking about how big Wiggy was, like tough and strong Wiggy was in comparison with David Ortiz, and how svelte I looked. I also saw that.
There you go.
I haven't mentioned this in a couple of days. I think you're looking really small.
Thank you, Curtis.
Slimming down.
Thank you. I was ridiculed again for wearing flip-flops. I have flip-flops on this morning. It's summertime. I don't know. Do I owe some sort of an explanation on my choice of fashion when it comes to my
They're comfortable.
My feet?
You're a summer flop guy.
I am. Right. I really am.
And they're in right now, honestly.
I mean, in or out, I don't care. They're comfortable.
It's far be it for me to defend Greg for real no reason other than just to boost his ego. But to me, it's more immature to post in the comments of an Instagram story or post about another adult's attire than it is to actually wear flip-flops.
Yeah.
I mean, and the men that were in there were like, get some class. It's like, okay, dude, why don't you go to class and stop commenting on Instagram photos?
I mean, also, I have been here for 5 years at this radio station, 28 or whatever it was at the other radio station. You should be aware at this point that I have no class. Like, that you should know that.
Day but, class A.
Well,
Belichick, a big flip-flop guy.
Belichick is a flip-flop
huge.
Guy. Yeah.
Belichick. The shorts are interesting, if I could, just quickly.
Yeah.
Corduroy.
They're corduroy, which, you know, corduroy shorts. Santo has a pair, and I always find it interesting because you wear corduroys in the winter or the fall, but having corduroy shorts kind of defeats the purpose.
I like the look. I really do. I found a brand that I like. I think it's Marine Layer.
Okay.
I liked the way they fit, and I as any guy would. As soon as I found a pair that I liked, I bought three or four other ones, varying colors. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but I'm delighted with my own personal look and really.
You look great.
I think we've spent far too much time on it.
You look good.
What I will say is that we sit here this morning at Fenway Park for day number two at over $1 million donated yesterday by you. So we are on our way, but we got a lot of work to do this morning right now. Looking at the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon tote board, we are at $1,101,642 that you donated yesterday. So thank you. I know how busy everybody is, and it's summertime, so there's people on vacation and people trying to get everything ready to get the kids back to school and all that stuff. So if you took time out of your day yesterday and you made a donation, thank you. If you haven't yet, then our intent is to beat what we raised last year, and that was $4 million. So we got a lot of work to do over the next 12, 15 hours to see if we can get there. We are looking at, for this show, a match that was announced yesterday morning by Rob Hale of $775,000. Yesterday on the show, you donated almost $300,000. So I believe that Ken Laird, our brand manager, has done the math. And we sit here this morning hoping that over the next 4 hours, you will donate over $458,000. And that will get us to that $775,000 match. And I think that we can do it.
Definitely.
I mean, I think we have the time, and I think we definitely have the will, so I'm hoping that we can get there. If you want to give, you could call right away this morning, 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. You can go to jimmyfund.org. That's jimmyfund.org. Now, I mentioned that you can donate online all the time. Yesterday, I heard Gresh mention that as www.jimmyfund.org. Should I be throwing the www out more when talking about websites?
Well, I don't think so.
Is it understood at this point?
Yes.
I think so.
And it actually, okay, if you type in the way that you're saying it, it'll still come up.
Okay, I just want. Maybe I should be adding the HTTP colon.
Right. 1049, gold 49, final hour 101.
All right. I just wanted to check.
As long as you get the dot. .org or .com or .net.
Is that it?
That's the only thing that really matters afterwards.
It was it's an emotional couple of days, especially with everything going on, but when you... didn't hear it when Greg alerted me to that. I just started dying laughing.
Listen, far be it from me to criticize others. I just don't hear a lot of people these days throwing the www in front.
No.
Well, and I kind of forgot it was the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
I didn't remember what that was.
To be fair, up until 2019, Dale gave the fax number. So
was it /donate/@?
Oh, all right. God. You can also text. All you have to do to donate via text is text the letter K and the word cancer to 20222, and you will donate $25 toward this effort, the effort to strike out cancer, which has been going on for 22 years. And we heard some incredible stories yesterday, and we'll hear some incredible stories today from those who are fighting cancer, the doctors and the nurses who are helping them, and the researchers
researchers who are, it seems like, and yesterday there were a couple, for me anyway, a couple really cool moments where you are able to sit here and physically hear the advancements that have been made in the last 10 years alone when it comes to fighting this horrific disease. So yesterday was moving at several points during the show.
Yeah, and I think Courtney made the best point, arguably, when you said that we were talking about the people we know, and Courtney said the people today, thanks to the donations to this and other causes, are able to live with and not be defined by their cancer. And if you're able to conceptualize that into your own life, and if you have healthy family right around you, what you would give to feel that way should the worst happen. And nobody wants cancer. We all want to eradicate it. But the ability and the way in which, like, the other thing that struck me, and every year it's a new thing, is the boundless optimism of people who are surrounded by the worst possible news. Like, yeah. Every day you drive to work and you're meeting people who are for the first time finding out their loved one or they have cancer, which, if it ever happens to anybody, I'm sure, Wiggy, when you found about your mom, when I did my person, it is a moment that sticks with you as one of the worst moments of your life. And so you drive to a building where you do that every day, and yet they are so relentlessly optimistic about how they're able to attack it. And I just, there's just very special people wherever they treat cancer, but to have those people here, the best in the world, and to be that way, like Dr. Rollins, who's been in this, you're emeritus, so you've been in it for forever.
Yeah, forever.
And he's just he has such a positive disposition about something that is so negative.
Yeah.
And I think when you're walking into a room and you're meeting with an oncologist, I guess that'd probably be the number one thing you'd want. Is someone that's not going to tell you, because you're going to be able to doom scroll your
right.
your day away.
Yeah,
but the way in which that they approach it is just so unique.
It's extraordinary, and we will have a lot of those stories and a lot of those individuals on the show this morning and all day long here on day number two of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We will The doctors here at Fenway barely saved the patient last night. The Red Sox were up 6-0 and then nearly blew it last night. I don't know if you ended up catching any of that game.
I was all excited. I was like, how much money are we going to be able to raise if there's a perfect game the night? And then, of course, the next inning, boom.
Yeah.
Sox now even in the lost column with the Royals.
Yep.
They're one game out officially. The Royals have two more wins. But all I want is another month of baseball games that matter.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're on our way. And
you're going to get that.
We're going to get that.
Yeah.
And
you want to guarantee it?
Well, I mean, I think you could pretty much guarantee it based on where the Red Sox are right now in the standings in the wild card hunt. You're basically every game for, you know, the next month, 2 months is going to matter because they're basically right there. I don't think, unless they go on a major, major slump.
No. But they kind of did, and now we're on the uptick right now, but is that going to come back down?
No, they got to, I'm talking like a 10-game losing streak. You know, they want, what, 4-game losing streak?
Yeah,
and they were still in the mix. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least you got, if you were, when it comes to trade acquisitions and you had questions about Lucas Sims, hopefully he's turned the corner.
Big spot last night coming in with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
Getting out with no runs.
Bases loaded, one out or whatever.
Right.
So at least, you know, because he's struggled a little bit since arriving. He had that blown save last week. And so I think hopefully that question might be answered and that might be what he needs. So we are at Fenway. We've got a lot to talk about, and we want to talk to you about it this morning. On the show today, in about 45 minutes or half an hour or so, we will be joined by the head football coach at Boston College, Bill O'Brien. And we'll talk to Bill O'Brien not only about the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon,
but we can certainly ask about Shime's guy, Drake May, who had, it appears, Shime, an extraordinary day yesterday in joint practices. I mean, what a day for Drake May yesterday.
Yeah, initial start to 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s, started 9-of-9 for the day, and then when they went to more scrimmages with the Eagles and 11-on-11s, was sacked on 8-of-16 dropbacks. So that's okay. Fine.
Wow. That's the line. That's not him.
Well, also, I mean, if we're going to be fair, the completions were just swing passes, and it wasn't the fault of Brissett or May.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line is awful.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was the Patriots' defense, according to Giardi, he said the defense held their own.
Okay.
The offense was brutal.
Oh, they
almost as bad as the Patricia Judge practices.
Bedard said the same thing.
But they're calling, like, it abysmal pass protection, but that's not – I mean, you can't hold. You're not faulting the quarterback.
No, not at
either
all.
Either one of them. Yeah, I mean, but did you have any other expectation when it came to
no,
the offensive
I mean,
line?
I don't know. Like, my lead's about this, but we can throw
okay,
it out there.
No, we can get
through. Yeah, I mean, I just think the generic line is what the Patriots did this offseason is set the two most important people in the franchise back: the new head coach,
yeah,
and the new quarterback,
yeah.
Where you both needed, you know, you're replacing Bill Belichick and
right.
You're stepping into the most important position as a 21-year-old kid, and neither one of which have been set up for success.
Mm. Well, speaking of Bill Belichick, Mike McDaniel had some interesting things to say about that former head coach, and we'll get to that during They Said It, which will happen at 7:20. Before that, though, and we can certainly get his input into Drake May and into Jerod Mayo and into the upcoming start of the season for the Patriots. We'll be joined at 7 by Devin McCourty this morning. So we'll talk to Devin about all of those things and the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon at 7 on this morning show. And then we will be joined here at Fenway Park at 8:30 by the great Ray Bourque, who has been involved in this event like a lot of other people since it started 22 years ago. So Ray Bourque will be here at 8:30 this morning. If you wanna be on the show, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. You can watch this show all morning on Twitch and on YouTube. And good morning and hello to those of you who are watching up and Adam this morning, and thanks for that. And here to get us started is Courtney with what is trending this first hour.
Bill O'Brien joins the Greg Hill Show this morning at 6:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Sox 2-for-2 after taking down the Rangers again last night. 9-4 was the final at Fenway. Cutter Crawford went 5 1/3, giving up 4 runs on 3 hits while striking out 4. Last one with the Rangers tonight, 7:10 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Patriots joint practice with the Eagles yesterday. Shime, Greg, Curtis all brought it up, but Drake May started 9-of-9 before things fell off for him. Some good news, though, Christian Barmore was there to take in practice on the sideline. Uh-huh. It was the first time that any media member was able to see him since he was diagnosed with blood clots. Mm. Some bad news for the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy needs knee surgery after suffering a torn meniscus during the Vikings game on Saturday. He tried to sleep it off, went in the next day, said something's wrong with my right knee. He is going to have to undergo surgery. They'll figure out how severe this is and how long he will be out once surgery is completed. And today through Thursday at Shaw's and Star Market, ground beef and turkey are on sale. Get value pack 80% lean fresh ground beef or 93% lean Shady Brook Farms ground turkey. Just $2.77 a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 64 degrees, sunny skies, another gorgeous fall-like morning here in Boston. It's going to be beautiful, sunny this afternoon, highs in the low 80s.
Prior to yesterday, over 22 years, you had donated over $70 million to the Jimmy Fund and Dana Farber in this radio telethon. It's now $71 million that you have donated. Yesterday's total, $1,101,642. And we got a ways to go today, so call 877-738-1234.
And it doesn't matter how much you can give, $10, $25, $50, whatever you feel like you can give, it gets us where we are going. You can also text KCANCER to 20222. That's 20222. And just type in KCANCER and you will automatically donate $25. We will be back with our leads this morning coming up next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It is day number 2 of this year's Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We are at Fenway Park this morning and all day long today. And on this morning's show, we'll be joined by Bill O'Brien. And we will obviously talk Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. And Curtis and Courtney will talk Boston College football. And we'll get to ask Bill O'Brien a little bit about the way in which Drake May is being brought along by this current regime. So Bill O'Brien was great when he was on the show a couple months ago. And so I'm looking forward to talking to Bill O'Brien in about 20 minutes or so at 6:45. And then at 7, we'll talk to Devin McCourty. And at 8:30 this morning, Ray Bork will join us here. And he has been a longtime supporter of this event, as has almost everybody who has ever. Devin, Wiggy, David Ortiz, Jason Verrett, everybody who has ever played in the city on a professional sports franchise has at some point been a part of this great event over 22 years, which is pretty amazing.
It is, and I loved that conversation with Verrett and Ortiz, and the mutual respect 20 years later. Wiggy can speak to this about, you know, teammates, it never really is broken. And when you go through what those two did, and we forget that David's first year was 03, was Grady Little, was the Aaron Boone home run.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just such a guy that had been here barely a year, probably not even a calendar year, was so attuned to the fan reaction where he said it was like somebody had died. It was like a funeral.
Yeah, he kind of knew it right away. Like knew what the expectation was and where the pressure was coming from right away upon getting here.
Then you get to the next year, you're down 3-0, and then you hit the walk-off in game 4 home run. You hit the flare in game 5. Like you hit the home run in game 5 in the 8th inning to make it a 1-run game when you were down 2 so that you could tie it later in that inning. Like that stretch, like I might be PowerShuttle Brady, Super Bowl 51, all that. But with everything on the line, there has never been a performance like what David Ortiz did. There's never been a 3-0 comeback.
Like the walk-offs alone.
Right.
Like to win really important playoff games. Like, I mean,
but
yeah.
Like game after game after game.
Yes, over and over again.
It's unbelievable.
And I could have talked to them forever. Mm-hmm. We were going way over our time, and I could have gone for another hour because we touched upon it a little bit, but we just hit the surface of how much Jason Veritek and David Ortiz have done for the Wakefields in the fallout of both Tim and Stacy passing away and how they've shown up for their kids. And to hear them both talk about one of their best friends who died in this way and this tragic year that they've all faced, but then to watch how they've dealt with both their son and daughter and how they've stepped in as parent figures for them.
And then honestly, and they brought it up a little bit, but the courage of Tim Wakefield, who his wife Stacy was diagnosed first, and they had been fighting that for, you know, almost a year. And Tim Wakefield, I would guess, chose not to share his diagnosis because he wanted to focus on Stacy and wanted everybody to focus on Stacy getting better. And that's
he just didn't even want to get it checked out because he was saying, because Sam Kennedy was on very good yesterday, and he said he was at a golf event 3 weeks before Tim passed away.
That was the shocking part.
And he was saying he's having trouble.
Blurred vision.
Blurred vision. And
I'm sure if you're Tim Wakefield and your wife is enduring her own cancer battle, you're probably like, I'm just stressed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right.
I'm just feeling.
That was the shocking part about it. That was the part that really, like, it touches your heartstrings when Sam talked about it. Like, yeah, my vision's a little blurry. And then, you know, what'd he say? Like you said, 3 weeks
later.
Not
even a month.
Yeah, that's the thing about cancer that sucks is, like, some people you pray and hope they're able to prolong their life, and this allows them to do this. But there are some cases, you know, like a Tim Wakefield. Right. My mother was the same way. Boom, she figured it. They found out, you know, month and a half later, gonzo.
Yeah.
So it's always like, when you look at it, that's why this day is so great, because we talked about it yesterday. If you're able to prolong somebody's life, even James from Drains talked about how he was able to get the extra 15 years with his
mother-in-law.
Yeah.
So that's the hope that you can try to get from, the money that's donated to help people prolong their life.
Well, I think we talked a lot about it yesterday, but it's not necessarily sometimes or in the past a cancer diagnosis would be a literal death sentence. And there are people that I don't know how your mom reacted to it. My father, when he got his diagnosis, it was almost as if he knew and didn't have much optimism about it. And sometimes the mental part of it, I think, is so important for people. And that's what researchers and doctors and the progress that has been made can do for people. It can give them that hope.
Which, and there's this huge community now. The internet does good things, bad things. But when it comes to people with specific cancer types, there are these people that you get connected with that are 5 years ahead of you or 5 years before you, and they can talk about, you know, there's nobody that knows the fight better than the people that have actually, even the oncologists, they know what treatments to use, but they don't know how they make you feel because they've never had them. And so to have these people connected and to understand that is huge.
We have a lot of stories to share this morning on day number 2 of the WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Right now, though, we got to get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Say
choice this morning, Chime, the Electric Light Orchestra. It's a living thing. And good morning. Hello, Chime.
Good morning, Greg. So yesterday,
I call them ELO.
Yeah, yes. That's fine, Curtis.
Great good job, band. Curtis.
Huge catalog.
Love it.
By the way, I miss seeing your smiling face first thing every morning, Sean.
Oh, Greg, I miss seeing you guys too. It's tough to be separated, but I'm glad that we can at least chat like this a little bit.
Oh, Sean, what an opportunity to say not as much to miss.
It's true. You know, Curtis, I don't like to brag about it, but thank you. I appreciate you bringing that up. That means a lot to me. Thank you. Well, Greg, I needed to point this out because Sportico released the new NFL team evaluations, or valuations, I should say, not evaluations. And number one on that list is the Dallas Cowboys have officially eclipsed $10 billion in valuation. Well, it's interesting because you look at that, $10 billion, that's a lot of money. Then you look over to the NFL team's yearly cash spending. And the team that has spent the least amount of cash, actual physical cash, in the year of 2024 would be, you guessed it, the Dallas Cowboys. So I just want to use this as a way to explain the next time a player holds out, or a guy like CeeDee Lamb is holding out and Ja'Marr Chase is holding out, and Brandon Ayuk is holding out, and they want better contracts, pay them, because clearly these NFL teams have a ton of money, especially guys like Jerry Jones who have a crap ton of money. They have the highest valued franchise in the United States in any of the four major sports, the most valuable franchise, and he spends the least amount of cash across the league. Uh-huh. Like it's a load of crap. Pay these players what they're worth. It's that simple.
Okay. Does sound like the Steelers may have a deal in place when it comes to Ayuk, though, right?
Right. They're just working on the money. Yeah. So, but the money's been the problem the whole time.
Right.
But
$30 million short is a big stretch for that to come up.
I think the 49ers are doing it right. I think they're saying, look, here's the team you wanted to go to. Yeah. You figure it out. Let's see if they have a better time finding out how much to pay you because we haven't been able to figure it out ourselves.
Right.
$10 billion, though, that's a lot of money.
Man, and they got a
franchise.
And Dallas has they're going to have to spend a lot of money. You got Dak, you got CeeDee, and you're going to have Micah Parsons. So they better figure it out real quick.
All right, Chime. Thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Morning, Greg. So we talk a lot about the spending habits of the New England Patriots, but this offseason we've done a lot of discussing about other rookie quarterbacks, and we mentioned Mac Jones as a guy that got in here year one and made the playoffs. But we forget to include the most important element of that offseason, and that was over $200 million spent in free agency by Robert Kraft months after Tom Brady won a Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When it was Kraft's ass, he spent money and surrounded Mac Jones, who Ken famously said he might be. He's spot on mostly that was a collaborative Kraft pick in the first place.
Yeah.
So when Kraft was on the line, he did everything he could financially to surround Mac Jones with a roster that would elevate him. Whether it was Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, who didn't pan out, Judon on the defensive side, they spent everywhere that offseason. This offseason, same situation, draft a rookie quarterback. This time you take him at 3 overall. You do nothing.
But it seems like they were willing to spend, at least in the case of Brandon Ayuk.
But it doesn't count if it doesn't actually happen. It's
Yeah, I would say that's fine.
Well, you can't make it happen if the player doesn't want to be here.
Right, but I think that they overpaid Jonnu Smith. They overpaid Hunter Henry. They gave Judon more money than anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how those guys got here. It's not that the Patriots were this big destination in 2021. It's that the organization, and it was momentum, right? That was one day. I think within 2 hours, they made 5 of these signings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they prioritized it. This year, they did not prioritize it.
Well, you would have hoped that the takeaway from yesterday and joint practices would have been that Drake May looks pretty good. And unfortunately, the takeaway is that the offensive line looks horrid.
Right.
That's the takeaway from yesterday.
And the next logical conclusion is, the most important part of this year, good or bad, was to know what you have in Drake May.
Yeah.
they will not be able to get that because they didn't spend on the offensive line.
Great lead, Curtis. Yeah. All right, thank you. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. The WNBA is in the headlines again, and it's not for a good reason. Dorica Hamby, the three-time WNBA All-Star, two-time Six Woman of the Year winner, she's accusing the league and her former team, the Vegas Aces, of discrimination and retaliation against her because she announced she was pregnant. Now, if you are a pro athlete, a woman playing at the highest level of your sport, you should think that you are the safest person in any workforce when it comes to announcing that you're pregnant, because you're surrounded by women who should be lifting you up in a time like that and not trading you to the Sparks in the case of Hamby.
Unbelievable.
The fact that all eyes are on the WNBA right now, thanks to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the fact that headlines are coming out with the way in which players are treating Caitlin Clark and the way in which they were both disrespected when it came to making Team USA, is the WNBA filled with mean girls? That's my question.
That's your question
this morning.
Yeah, full of mean girls.
If you're looking around this, if you're talking about bullying, treatment when it comes to naming two of your best players in the league to the Olympics, and now you're talking about one of your best players getting traded because she's pregnant, those are three strikes that I can't get behind.
Yeah.
And just to be, you know, fair, if this was a woman in a male-dominated field, it would be a major story.
Major.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
You're right.
Yeah.
But because it's women suppressing women, it's okay.
And, girl on girl crime is fine.
Right.
Yeah. And Becky Hammond saying, no, it just came down to math and it just came down to, you know, logistics and that's why they treated her. I'm sorry. There is no such thing as coincidences.
Yeah.
If you announce you're pregnant and you're getting shipped out of town the next day, that's not right.
All right. Great lead. Courtney Wiggy, hello.
All right. Good morning. Courtney, they always been mean. They ran Candace Wiggins up out of there because she was straight.
No relation?
No relation.
Okay.
Neither is Andrew Wiggins. But then again, they might be from my father's side. Who the hell knows?
Oh, yeah, that's true, Wiggs.
Yeah, I never met him, didn't know him, so who the hell knows?
His loss.
Yeah.
What about Nate Wiggins, new NFL cornerback?
Could be. Could be.
Yeah, who knows?
You should do a 23andMe.
Now, wasn't your father, like your
that's,
father?
That's Greg's screen name.
Your father was a traveling salesman.
He wasn't no traveling salesman.
He may have left children all over the place.
He wasn't no traveling salesman. Okay, okay. He'd have a little bit of money or something. I don't know what the hell he did, because clearly
was he like a long haul trucker or something
don't
like
know.
That?
Okay. I don't know what the hell he did.
All right, okay.
But anyways, so when you look at, I'm going to go with this one. You can't fight it no more. You cannot fight the bikes no more.
My God.
They are here.
I can't believe this.
This is the biggest pivot of all time.
Oh, you are such a hypocrite.
This is the biggest pivot of all time.
Yes.
You're now an advocate for the bike lanes?
No. I'm not an advocate for the bike lanes.
We're finally on the same page.
Curtis, I'm not an advocate for the bike lanes because I ride on
You're an advocate for the bikes.
No. I ride on the sidewalks. I ride wherever I can. Where I am an advocate for, Michelle Wu and blue bikes, is can we please eliminate the blue bikes and get more gray bikes, more of the e-bikes?
Wiggy.
You don't want anybody getting exercise. It's too difficult to pedal.
You can still get exercise on an e-bike, the ability for the bike to help you is so much more convenient than trying to have to pedal yourself.
A year ago, you said if you're in a car, you should be able to plow down bikers because they do whatever they want on the road and they don't pay attention to the rules.
We all grow, Courtney. All evolve as people.
Wiggy, thank you.
I don't
more
even know you anymore.
Gray bikes. I can't find a gray bike this morning. I was going to take a gray bike over here, and there's two racks in front of my building. They have like 30 bikes a piece. Nothing but blue bikes. Let's get rid of some of these blue bikes. We need more gray bikes in the city, Wu.
Thank you. Thank you, Wiggy. Yesterday, a high-ranking Australian athletic minister accused Reagan of trying to get 0 points in the Olympic breakdancing competition on purpose.
No.
I believe it's time to leave Reagan alone.
Oh, it's never time to leave her alone.
Now,
my God.
The Prime Minister of Australia yesterday came to the defense of Reagan. Here is what he had to say.
Reagan had a crack. Good on her. and a big shout out to her. That is in the Australian tradition of people having a go. She's had a go representing our country, and that's a good thing. One of the things that I hope happens as a result of our magnificent performance of these athletes, the best performance in any Olympics ever, is that there's young people watching, and maybe a couple of the ones here, Tom. Tom's got his two daughters here, that they're watching like other young people and thinking, you know what, Brisbane 2032, I could have a go there.
Okay. I mean, I think everybody watching Raygun said I could have a go with that because what? But is it time to leave Raygun alone? I mean,
I don't ever want to leave Raygun alone.
No, she is going to be around forever, and she should capitalize on the fact that everybody is talking about her. But Wiggy could start training today, and he could be in L.A. in 4 years.
He could do what Raygun did.
Oh, yes. She's a professor.
So embarrassing for the breakdancing Olympics. So embarrassing.
Yeah.
And Australia's a big, big time competitor when it comes to the Olympics. They do really well.
Well, but breakdancing is different.
In Australia, they're upset because they think she did it on purpose. She was having a crack. She was having fun at their country's Olympic breakdancing team's expense. And that's what the issue is.
But wouldn't the issue be with anybody taking breakdancing seriously?
It would be an issue with whoever told her she was on the team.
Yeah. Breakdancing is listen, you got the right B-boy and B-girls that can go out there like some of the Americans.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is definitely a fun thing to watch.
Well, it might be time to leave her. Leave Raygun alone. All right. We are at Fenway Park, day two of the WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and the head coach of football at Boston College, Bill O'Brien, will join us next. We have a new donation total to share, and that is $1,164,310. So walked in here this morning half an hour ago. We were at $110,000. We're up $50,000 so far this morning. Thank you so much. Or sorry, we were at $1,110,000. We're at $1,164,000. So you could do the math. 87 cents of every dollar that you give goes to patient care and to research with the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. So thank you to those who have given already. And if you have yet to give, please call 877-738-1234. Make those phones ring. You can also give when you go to jimmyfund.org. Or if you want to make it really easy, you can text KCANCER to 20222. And that's a $25 donation. And joining us now, a guy who was a part of this event during his time with the New England Patriots, and now for the first time as the head football coach at Boston College, it's Bill O'Brien. Bill, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Greg? Thanks for having me.
Always great to have you on the show.
No fight song, Shime?
Oh, man.
I know.
What a miss.
Come on. I love that fight song. I please play that every time.
I still remember my cheer morning. To it.
You do? You remember
your
cheer?
Yeah, I remember the whole dance.
Have we set up? We had the Save Coaches. We had the Save Wiggy's Job pep rally with Brockton High School when he was the coach, and that didn't work. I don't know if you know about that, Bill, or not, but Wiggy was. Are you familiar with coaches who are doing a fantastic job and then they are unceremoniously dumped from that position? Have you ever experienced that?
I'm quite familiar with that scenario, quite
All
familiar.
Right. So have we ever set up, and if we haven't, we should right now, Courtney returning to her roots and cheering at a BC game this season?
I would have to bring out the knee brace again.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm all for
it. You're all for it. You don't sound all for it.
Well, I could do the fight song. Other than that, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll work.
We'll work on it.
We can work on that. Yeah. Bill, we're here at Fenway, and this is 22 years of this event, and I know you experienced it when you were with the Patriots, and that players that you were coaching experienced it. It is an incredible thing that this community comes together for every year.
Yeah, it really is. I just listened to you talking about how much you've already raised, you know, in the first day and a half here, whatever you guys have been doing it, and I just think it's incredible. It's incredible what the Red Sox do. Having grown up in this area, you know, very familiar with the Jimmy Fund for, you know, a very, very long time. You know, been a Red Sox fan my whole life, and, you know, just thinking about what they do to, as you guys always talk about, you know, try to eradicate that horrendous disease by raising money for research and all the different things that go into it. We just lost a great man here at Boston College, I think 2 weeks ago, Jack Connors, you know, passed away to cancer. So it hits close to home for all of us.
Unbelievable guy. One of the most philanthropic people in this city ever. And the money that is given and the effort that is made by the doctors and the researchers and the nurses and the stories of those that are fighting it, it's hard not to think that at some point we'll get there and find a way to stop what's going on with these patients. But we can't do it without the dollars. And so it makes a real difference when it comes to what everybody is fighting here.
No question. I just think that's too. The other thing I think about a lot is very biased here, but what Boston is all about, you know, people come together in times like this. You know, there's just great people in this city that donate to that and to the Jimmy Fund, and it's great to see.
I mean, and those great people will be happy as long as you're winning. You know how it goes.
You say that every time. I'm telling you, we're working very hard to win, Greg. I promise you, we're working very hard. We're working very hard to put a winning product on the field.
To that point, Bill, I did see that you've increased intensity when it comes to practice. You weren't thrilled with the output, with the effort the guys were putting in at practice. You guys have a scrimmage today. Are you happier after increasing that intensity when it comes to the guys? I personally love it. I love having a guy out there with BC that is going to make sure that they are ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's only really one way to do it, right? I mean, you can't expect to go to a game and, you know, having not practiced properly and think that you're going to, you know, have any shot in any game. So we've definitely gotten better. These kids have worked really hard. I mean, they've put in a lot of work in the springtime, the summertime, and now this will be our 10th practice today. This is a scrimmage where we go into the stadium and, you know, kind of like a game-like scrimmage, got coaches in the press box and got the ACC officials here and things like that. So it's a big day today here at BC. And these guys, they've worked really hard. I'm very happy with where we are, you know, right now.
At the start of training camp, Gerard Mayo had the fellas doing some virtual sprints. Have you been doing any of this virtually, Bill?
I did not see that. I've been busy myself, so I don't even know what we're talking about with virtual sprints.
Yep.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a work-life balance, work from home kind of thing. Yeah. You know how that goes, Bill.
When I was in school, I did virtual studying.
virtual kissing.
We've been talking
a lot of virtual kissing.
We've been talking a lot about Drake May. Does it surprise you when you look at that first preseason game and he's in there for one series? When you look at reps in practice with the ones and how many he is or isn't getting, does it surprise you the way they're kind of bringing him along?
You know, I think that's an interesting, you know, question, Greg. I think that preseason games, I'll just be honest with you, they don't really mean a whole lot. And the reason why I say that is that, you know, both sides of the ball in preseason aren't really doing a whole lot. Like, the defense may play cover three the whole game. The offense may just be in 11 personnel the whole game, simple formation. So for that reason alone, you should probably try to get, in my opinion, you know, a rookie quarterback a bunch of reps, because, you know, you're playing pretty vanilla offense and defense. At the same time, you know, how is the offensive line playing? Like, you want to go in there and get the guy crushed because we can't block anybody. You know what I mean? So I think there's probably a fine line that they're talking about. But in the end, I always believe in reps. I know they're scrimmaging the Eagles right now, so I'm sure that, you know, that Drake's getting a bunch of reps. I don't think there's any other way to learn than by actually doing it. I don't think you learn by, you know, standing next to the coach on a sideline. I think you actually learn by going out there and experiencing it and dealing with pressures and dealing with the different things that go into getting ready for a game.
Billy, just speaking for myself, there is a huge groundswell of energy back into BC football. And there is a feeling like there's someone there that, you know, maybe you won't be there for 30 years, but your desire is to get it right, to get BC football back to, you know, some days where it's top 25 and competing in the ACC. And I just, with the way the Patriots are right now, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on BC football that may not have been with the addition of you and this fall. So there's a lot of optimism for you, Billy, in the BC community.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you guys giving, giving BC football a voice on your show, because your show is awesome. And so I really appreciate that. I do. You guys know, you and Courtney know, I mean, this is a special place. And, you know, we can be great academically. We can be, you know, great in so many different areas. We can be good in football. You know, we can be good in football if we recruit the right way and we coach the right way and we develop players the right way. There's no doubt we can win in football. So we just have to keep chipping away. We got a lot of good people here. I love the job. You know, I'm from here. I grew up here. I have a lot of buddies that played here that take a lot of pride in Boston College football. So I look forward to coming to work every single day. I haven't been able to say that about every single job I've ever had. You know, I really enjoy getting in the car and coming to work every single day. So I'm excited for the season. I actually think we have a pretty good team. You know, I think we got a lot of guys on this team that are good football players. So, you know, we got to go do it. We have to go prove it. But I'm excited for the season.
Bill, like you said, you're about, you know, 10 practices in through fall camp. And I know that you've been in college football, but it seems like it's always evolving. What are some of the things that you're noticing just, you know, especially now that you're back into it, maybe some of the things that you like, some of the obstacles? I know the transfer portal is big. You talk about developing players and trying to build a nucleus and some of your good players jumping the portal. You're having to get players from other places. What are some of the things that you like and maybe dislike about being back in it since it's been, you know, a couple of years and it's constantly evolving in college football?
I think the big thing that I like, Wig, is the fact that you really develop a player. It's very different than pro football. You know, pro football, you know, when for instance, like when there's a day off in pro football, they're off. They're not in the building. They're gone. And a day off in college football means that, you know, really you're just not practicing. You can have a, you know, meetings, you can have an indoor walkthrough, you can do some player development, you can bring in guest speakers, you can, you know, we had Chris Heron here the other day. It was amazing, you know, talking to our team about his story. So I think there's a lot of things that are really good about college football relative to the development of players. I think when it comes to the transfer portal, you know, we have 12 guys on the team right now that transferred in here, and they're good players and they're good kids. I don't know if we want to live in the transfer portal at Boston College. I think it'll be difficult to do that, you know, because I think it's hard to transfer in here. You know, it's not easy to come from, you know, University of Illinois to Boston College. It's not easy to do that. So I think we have to do a great job of recruiting. You know, if there's a guy out there that we think fits in the transfer portal, we'll certainly look at it. But I just really enjoy the amount of time you get to be with the players. You know, I think that's in my opinion, that's one of the issues with the National Football League right now. After in 2011, when the CBA changed, the development of players changed. You know, back when I started, when you played, Wiggy, you remember, you know, Dante would work with those linemen after practice every single day for years. That's how Stephen Neal became Dan Conley. That's how those guys became really good players, because they were developed day in and day out. You don't have that as much in the NFL anymore. You have it in college.
Well, now you have guys that are narking you out to the Players Association if you have a late meeting.
Exactly.
not talking about anybody in particular that's on the phone or anything. But
we have real viewing.
last one from me, Bill. Have you asked Bill Belichick to come speak to the fellas?
You know, he's been busy. he's got a lot going on. But no, I think he'll come by. I do think he'll come by. You know what? Bears is here. Bears Najarian, and so that's been a huge thing for our program. So, you know, I haven't talked to Bill in a while, but I think he'll stop by. He goes out to the University of Washington a lot because Steven's out there, and you know, he's got his own stuff. He's got a lot going on. He's on the Manning cast, which I don't think. I think all of us can't wait to watch that. And then he's on McAfee, and you know, he's a busy guy. So hopefully he'll stop by and say a few words to the team, but not today. We got a big scrimmage today. So
all right, well, good luck. Thanks for taking the time.
Go Eagles.
We are looking for. I think we're going to talk to you all season long on this show. So we're looking forward to it, Bill awesome. O'Brien. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Bill O'Brien. A lot of optimism when it comes to the Eagles and the double and triple Eagles, Curtis.
I love him so much.
You love him.
I love him.
You love him.
What a great, like, just, I can't tell you the last time I felt this way about BC football.
You're excited.
I mean, we went from Jeff Hafley leaving on his own volition to bringing in that guy. What an awesome. Upgrade.
All right, we're going to talk to Devin McCourty next. We're at Fenway Park. It is day number two of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We have a new donation total to share, and that is $1,164,310. So walked in here this morning half an hour ago. We were at 110. We're up $50,000 so far this morning. Thank you so much. Or sorry, we were at 1,110. We're at 1,164. So you could do the math. 87 cents of every dollar that you give goes to patient care and to research with the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. So thank you to those who have given already. And if you have yet to give, please call 877-738-1234. Make those phones ring. You can also give when you go to jimmyfund.org. Or if you want to make it really easy, you can text KCANCER to 20222. And that's a $25 donation. And joining us now, a guy who was a part of this event during his time with the New England Patriots, and now for the first time as the head football coach at Boston College, it's Bill O'Brien. Bill, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Greg? Thanks for having me.
Always great to have you on the show.
No fight song, Shime?
Oh, man.
I know.
What a miss.
Come on. I love that fight song. Please play that every time.
I still remember my cheer morning. To it.
You do? You remember
your
cheer?
Yeah, I remember the whole dance.
have we set up – we had the Save Coaches – we had the Save Wiggy's Job pep rally with Brockton High School when he was the coach, and that didn't work. I don't know if you know about that, Bill, or not, but Wiggy was – are you familiar with coaches who are doing a fantastic job and then they are unceremoniously dumped from that position? Well, have you ever experienced that?
I'm quite familiar with that scenario. Quite All familiar.
Right. So have we ever set up, and if we haven't, we should right now, Courtney returning to her roots and cheering at a BC game this season?
I would have to bring out the knee brace again.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm all for
it. You're all for it. You don't sound all for it.
Well, I could do the fight song. Other than that, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll work.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
We can work on that. Yeah. Bill, we're here at Fenway, and this is 22 years of this event, and I know you experienced it when you were with the Patriots, and that players that you were coaching experienced it. It is an incredible thing that this community comes together for every year.
Yeah, it really is. I just listened to you talking about how much you've already raised, you know, in the first day and a half here, whatever you guys have been doing it. And I just think it's incredible. It's incredible what the Red Sox do. Having grown up in this area, you know, very familiar with the Jimmy Fund for, you know, a very, very long time, you know, been a Red Sox fan my whole life. And, you know, just thinking about what they do to, as you guys always talk about, you know, try to eradicate that horrendous disease by raising money for research and all the different things that go into it. We just lost a great man here at Boston College, I think 2 weeks ago, Jack Connors, you know, passed away to cancer. So it hits close to home for all of us.
Unbelievable guy. One of the most philanthropic people in this city ever. And the money that is given and the effort that is made by the doctors and the researchers and the nurses and the stories of those that are fighting it, it's hard not to think that at some point we'll get there and find a way to stop what's going on with these patients. But we can't do it without the dollars. And so it makes a real difference when it comes to what everybody is fighting here.
No question. I just think that's too. The other thing I think about a lot is very biased here, but what Boston is all about, you know, people come together in times like this. You know, there's just great people in this city that donate to that and to the Jimmy Fund, and it's great to see.
I mean, and those great people will be happy as long as you're winning. You know how it goes.
You say that every time. I'm telling you, we're working very hard to win, Greg. I promise you, we're working very hard. We're working very hard to put a winning product on the field.
To that point, Bill, I did see that you've increased intensity when it comes to practice. You weren't thrilled with the output, with the effort the guys were putting in at practice. You guys have a scrimmage today. Are you happier after increasing that intensity when it comes to the guys? I personally love it. I love having a guy out there with BC that is going to make sure that they are ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's only really one way to do it, right? I mean, you can't expect to go to a game and, you know, having not practiced properly and think that you're going to, you know, have any shot in any game. So we've definitely gotten better. These kids have worked really hard. I mean, they've put in a lot of work in the springtime, the summertime, and now this will be our 10th practice today. This is a scrimmage where we go into the stadium and, you know, kind of like a game-like scrimmage, got coaches in the press box and got the ACC officials here and things like that. So it's a big day today here at BC, and these guys, they've worked really hard. I'm very happy with where we are, you know, right now.
At the start of training camp, Gerard Mayo had the fellas doing some virtual sprints. Have you been doing any of this virtually, Bill?
I did not see that. I've been busy myself, so I don't even know what we're talking about with virtual sprints.
Yep.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a work-life balance, work from home kind of thing. Yeah. You know how that goes, Bill.
When I was in school, I did virtual studying.
Do you
virtual kissing?
We've been talking
definitely a lot of virtual kissing.
been talking a lot about Drake May. Does it surprise you when you look at that first preseason game and he's in there for one series? When you look at reps in practice with the ones and how many he is or isn't getting, does it surprise you the way they're kind of bringing him along?
You know, I think that's an interesting, you know, question, Greg. I think that in preseason games, I'll just be honest with you, they don't really mean a whole lot. And the reason why I say that is that, you know, both sides of the ball in preseason aren't really doing a whole lot. Like, the defense may play cover three the whole game. The offense may just be in 11 personnel the whole game, simple formation. So for that reason alone, you should probably try to get, in my opinion, you know, a rookie quarterback a bunch of reps, because, you know, you're playing pretty vanilla offense and defense. At the same time, you know, how is the offensive line playing? Like, you want to go in there and get the guy crushed because we can't block anybody. You know what I mean? So I think there's probably a fine line that they're talking about. But in the end, I always believe in reps. I know they're scrimmaging the Eagles right now, so I'm sure that, you know, that Drake's getting a bunch of reps. I don't think there's any other way to learn than by actually doing it. I don't think you learn by, you know, standing next to the coach on a sideline. I think you actually learn by going out there and experiencing it and dealing with pressures and dealing with the different things that go into getting ready for a game.
Billy, just speaking for myself, there is a huge groundswell of energy back into BC football, and there is a feeling like there's someone there that, you know, maybe you won't be there for 30 years, but Your desire is to get it right, to get BC football back to, you know, some days where it's top 25 and competing in the ACC. And I just, with the way the Patriots are right now, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on BC football that may not have been with the addition of you and this fall. So there's a lot of optimism for you, Billy, in the BC community.
Well, First of all, I really appreciate you guys giving you know, giving BC football a voice on your show, because your show is awesome. And so I really appreciate that. I do. You guys know, you and Courtney know, I mean, this is a special place. And, you know, we can be great academically. We can be, you know, great in so many different areas. We can be good in football. You know, we can be good in football if we recruit the right way and we coach the right way and we develop players the right way. There's no doubt we can win in football. So we just have to keep chipping away. We got a lot of good people here. I love the job. You know, I'm from here. I grew up here. I have a lot of buddies that played here that take a lot of pride in Boston College football. So I look forward to coming to work every single day. I haven't been able to say that about every single job I've ever had. You know, I really enjoy getting in the car and coming to work every single day. So I'm excited for the season. I actually think we have a pretty good team. You know, I think we got a lot of guys on this team that are good football players. So, you know, we got to go do it. We have to go prove it. But I'm excited for the season.
Bill, like you said, you're about, you know, 10 practices in through fall camp. And I know that you've been in college football, but it seems like it's always evolving. What are some of the things that you're noticing, just, you know, especially now that you're back into it, maybe some of the things that you like, some of the obstacles? I know the transfer portal is big. You talk about developing players and trying to build a nucleus, and some of your good players jump in the portal. You're having to get players from other places. What are some of the things that you like and maybe dislike about being back in it, since it's been, you know, a couple of years and it's constantly evolving in college football?
I think the big thing that I like, Wig, is the fact that you really develop a player. It's very different than pro football. You know, pro football, you know, when for instance, like when there's a day off in pro football, they're off. They're not in the building. They're gone. And a day off in college football means that, you know, really you're just not practicing. You can have meetings, you can have an indoor walkthrough, you can do some player development, you can bring in guest speakers, you can, you know, we had Chris Heron here the other day. It was amazing, you know, talking to our team about his story. So I think there's a lot of things that are really good about college football relative to the development of players. I think when it comes to the transfer portal, you know, we have 12 guys on the team right now that transferred in here, and they're good players and they're good kids. I don't know if we want to live in the transfer portal at Boston College. I think it'll be difficult to do that, you know, because I think it's hard to transfer in here. You know, it's not easy to come from, you know, University of Illinois to Boston College. It's not easy to do that. So I think we have to do a great job of recruiting. You know, if there's a guy out there that we think fits in the transfer portal, we'll certainly look at it. But I just really enjoy the amount of time you get to be with the players. You know, I think that's in my opinion, that's one of the issues with the National Football League right now. After in 2011, when the CBA changed, the development of players changed. You know, back when I started, when you played, Wiggy, you remember, you know, Dante would work with those linemen after practice every single day for years. That's how Stephen Neal became Dan Conley. That's how those guys became really good players, because they were developed day in and day out. You don't have that as much in the NFL anymore. You have it in college.
Well, now you have guys that are narking you out to the Players Association if you have a late meeting. Not talking about anybody in particular that's on the phone or anything. But
we have real
have you,
footage.
Have you? last one from me, Bill. Have you asked Bill Belichick to come speak to the fellas?
You know, he's been busy. He's got a lot going on. But no, I think he'll come by. I do think he'll come by. You know what? Bears is here. Bears Najarian, and so that's been a huge thing for our program. So, you know, I haven't talked to Bill in a while, but I think he'll stop by. He's, you know, he goes out to the University of Washington a lot because Steven's out there, and you know, he's got his own stuff. He's got a lot going on. He's on the Manning cast, which I think all of us can't wait to watch that. And then he's on McAfee, and you know, he's a busy guy. So hopefully he'll stop by and say a few words to the team, but not today. We got a big scrimmage today. So,
all right. Well, good luck. Thanks for taking the time.
Go Eagles.
We are looking for. I think we're going to talk to you all season long on this show. So we're looking forward to it. Bill awesome. O'Brien, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Bill O'Brien. A lot of optimism when it comes to the Eagles and the double and triple Eagles, Curtis.
I love him so much.
You love him.
I love him.
You love him.
What a great, like, just, I can't tell you the last time I felt this way about PC football.
You're excited.
I mean, we went from Jeff Hafley leaving on his own volition to bringing in that guy. What an awesome. Upgrade.
All right, we're going to talk to Devin McCourty next. We're at Fenway Park. It is day number two of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.